Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. In October, the Department of Health and Human Services announced that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services would allow insurance coverage of traditional healthcare practices provided by Indian Health Service facilities, also tribal facilities, and urban Indian organizations throughout California and Oregon. You can join the conversation at jx@jeffnet.org. And joining me on the exchange now to shed more light on what this means is Virginia Hedrick. She's the executive director of the California Consortium for Urban Indian Health and serves on the board of Cal Wellness. Welcome, Virginia.
Squinicoy, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start by learning more about the work that you do.
Yeah, the work that we do at Sukui is really focused on policy and advocacy to uplift urban Indian organizations in California. Those are health programs and residential treatment facilities that are contracted with the Indian Health Service. They're not governed or run by tribes. They're run by board of directors that are majority American Indian, Alaska Native.
Okay. And let's get a little bit of background about you. How did you come to this work? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, I'm a member of the Yurok tribe. I grew up on the Klamath River in Humboldt County, about a quarter mile from my ancestral village of Shragon. It's really interesting because I grew up very rural. I grew up without electricity, without phones, without cable TV. And at the age of 18, I left the reservation to go to school in Los Angeles and then would move from Los Angeles to Sacramento to start my career in tribal health and tribal health advocacy. And now for the last 7 years, my work has been dedicated to urban Indian health. But the full portfolio, what I'm really passionate about is trying to address health disparities specifically for American Indians and Alaska Natives nationally and here in California.
Well, let's talk about those health disparities. What did you witness when you were growing up as far as health is concerned, and that juxtaposition when you left your tribal lands and came into mainstream society?
Yeah, and there was a real struggle with access to health care. So from the place that I grew up to my tribal health clinic was about a two-hour drive, and we'd be transported by tribal vans, and generally, I was really happy with the care that I received. It was just really hard to get to and in a high demand, so not enough providers to really meet the need. And so leaving the reservation was a cultural shock in a number of ways, some of which the way that health access was in walking distance to me, living in an urban environment, and the way that folks talk about health. The whole approach of public health versus individual health was something that really resonated with my cultural values. So looking at the health of a whole community and trying to understand what might be happening in the community. In the area that, of the reservation that I'm from, we're rich in culture and tradition. And our people have spent the last 20 years fighting for undamming the Klamath River. And what we saw with the health of the river was a direct link to the health of the people. So we saw a huge increase in suicide, in substance use disorder, in overdoses from opioids, in diabetes, in heart disease. And more recently, there's been a notable uptick in cancer. And those crises plague Indian country, both on the reservation and off the reservation.
Well, it's interesting that you associate that with the Klamath River. We were just talking with other tribal members who also associated the health of the river with their individual health as well, the health of the tribe. Now that the Klamath River has been undammed, what are your thoughts about how that will affect your tribe and others?
Yeah, I think that when we have a sustainable fishery again, when we have a healthy river that we can swim in, that we can play in, that we can have our ceremonies in again, I think we'll start to see our people heal in a different way. What's really important about watching and tracking public health data and with a background in epidemiology is it will take time. So the Klamath River has been dammed for more than 100 years. And so I'm not sure that it's going to take 100 years to get back to full health outcomes that we hope to see, but I do think it's going to take some time.
So what do you anticipate now will be the impact of the announcement by Health and Human Services to allow Medicaid coverage of native healing treatments?
Yeah, this is an initiative I have been working on at the policy level for over 7 years. And I think there's a couple of huge things here. One, we have in the last 7 years had great partnership with the state of California Department of Healthcare Services, and they have fully supported our initiative to expand substance use disorder services to include traditional healer and natural helper services. One important thing to note is these services are already being offered by our clinics. Notably, one of our residential treatment facilities, the Friendship House, a core tenet of the services they provide is a link to culturally appropriate services and to traditional healing. They have a sweat lodge right there on campus of the residential treatment facility. What we struggle with is an adequate payer system. So a way to provide reimbursement for these services so that they can be offered on a regular ongoing basis, both at programs like Friendship House and within our clinic setting. This approval from CMS includes both tribal health programs, urban Indian organizations, and the Indian Health Service. California is home to two youth regional treatment facilities. Those facilities serve youth ages 12 to 17 who have a substance use disorder. All of these facilities will be able to employ and contract traditional healers. And a big question in this process is, like, what are the type of services that will be offered? Who is a traditional healer? And what we advocated for was community-defined language. So tribal and urban Indian organizations will be able to set their own criteria for what a traditional healer looks like, the type of skills they have. And what we know is that there are traditional healers that do different things across the spectrum. So some offer group sweat lodges, some offer one-on-one, some offer what is more generally regarded as talk therapy, some offer song and dance, which I think the policy at DHCS titles that song therapy, music therapy. I think we would refer to that as more of cultural programming. So those are the type of services, and we know that traditional healers exist within the network in California and throughout the United States, and typically they're providing services on a one-off basis, on a daily rate contract with the health facility, and the health facilities are often not able to offer the services on a regular recurring basis. So that's a little bit of a snapshot of what's being offered and how it's currently working.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. My guest is Virginia Hedrick. She's the executive director of the California Consortium for Urban Indian Health, and she serves on the board of Cal Wellness. We're talking about the recent announcement by the Biden-Harris administration to provide Medicaid coverage of traditional healing treatments used by Native tribes in California and Oregon. So Virginia, you're telling me now that instead of a top-down, one-size-fits-all, that this announcement allows for the coverage of healing treatments that are determined at the local level, which are effective, which are valuable, which are to be used. And they tell Medicaid that they've used these services and Medicaid reimburses them. Did I get that right?
Yeah, I think that's the quick summary, and I think you captured that perfectly. These are community-defined practices, and, you know, We're in the weeds at the advocacy level to ensure that those reimbursement rates are equitable, that it's enough to actually sustain this practice. We haven't quite reached that yet. So this first announcement here is a huge win. It's hearing from the federal government that they agree with state government and that all three entities, tribal government, state government, and federal government, and urban Indian organizations all agree that traditional healing services are necessary and effective. There will be an evaluation component of this, as is with all federal dollars. So the services will be evaluated for usage, efficacy, we're still talking about what it means because, like I said, things will take time. So we are in an incredible substance use disorder crisis throughout California as it relates to fentanyl and opioids. American Indians and Alaska Natives are experiencing the highest rate of overdose. And so we think the timing of this type of service to be able to uphold our traditional practices as a viable option to heal our people, this is the right time. 10 years ago would have been a good time too, but right now is a good time to introduce these services and to really increase the access. Once clinics are able to bill for this, they're going to be able to open access to more patients on a more regular basis.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about ceremonial dance songs, when you talk about Sweat Lodge, I know that people already in the traditional sense of medicine, they're using the Sweat Lodge experience. They're all, you know, anytime you want to see teenagers light up, they dance, they
right.
sing. So we know that these have positive impacts on our psyche, on our physical bodies. Why is it taking so long for it to be recognized as part of a health regimen when the natives have been doing it for so long?
Yeah, I think one, you've highlighted that Western medicine and it's slow to catch up. It's been really slow to catch up. And we see it with other topics like land management as it relates to fire, right? So indigenous peoples of the North Coast and of California have been managing land with fire since the beginning of time. And only in the last 10 to 15 years have governments recognized that that is the most effective way to manage land. So sometimes I think that there's just there's a time lag. The other piece is bureaucracy. So changing, getting Medicaid, the federal Medicaid system to extend a benefit is a huge deal. That's why celebrating this is so important. It's a big thing. And there have been other hurdles like this. You know, even behavioral health services, dental health services, we're constantly looking for expansions for things that seem, as you so clearly noted, so obvious, right? Like we know these things to be effective. We know the feel-good benefits. And we also, I think, at a deeper level, understand the spiritual healing that happens when you connect with community.
So tell me, how many Native tribes are there in California and how will this new policy affect them all?
Yeah, there's 111 federally recognized tribes in California, more than 70 non-federally recognized tribes seeking federal recognition. The 2020 census indicated that there were 1.4 million American Indians and Alaska Natives in California. There are 44 Indian health programs, 34 tribal health programs, 10 urban Indian organizations. California is home to the largest number of American Indians and Alaska Natives in any state. So the fact that we were among the first four states to be approved is incredible. So I think this will have deep impacts. We just have to get through some of these hurdles around billing and inclusion. And I didn't even get to the nuances of the approval is pretty limited to substance use disorder within what California calls their drug Medi-Cal counties. And not every county in California is opted in to be a drug Medi-Cal county. In fact, 11 of our most rural counties where tribes and tribal health programs do exist are not drug Medi-Cal counties. So on the advocacy side, we're still working to ensure that every tribe, every American Indian in California will have access to these benefits.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have. Thanks for helping us understand this new development, Virginia.
Thank you.